Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. We're going to look at some of the things that Peter said, and we're going to look at some of the things that are in the Bible and some of the things in history and how those things relate to one another, because history does repeat itself, gone into terrible error. So anyway, pushing all my buttons here to get ready to start the show because I'm always running late. And I was talking in the last show about, you know, kind of my week, all the kinds of emails that I get constantly, and I've been going through the emails. And I've gone through, you know, I dump most of them right away, and as I go through them, but then some of them remain on my in my email here, and I can look back over the weekend, and I've gotten to like the second day of the week, and I'm still going through tons and tons of emails. Because I also, you know, we work for a living. We don't require that the people support us, although it's getting to the point where I can't keep both jobs and do a good job at both of them. Because we're on the air, you know, about 7-8 hours a week. And then we are running this network with hundreds and hundreds of people that are active and thousands of people that are probably there sitting on the fence trying to figure out what they should do. And what they should do is repent. And it's that simple. They got to change directions. Repenting has to do with turning around and going in another direction. You don't want to just turn around. You want to turn around and go in that other direction. So, and this is what Christ said to do, is repent. And everybody who thinks they're saved but they haven't repented are under a strong delusion. Because if you're not doing what Jesus said, you don't really believe in Jesus. That's right. If you're not doing what he said, you don't really believe in Jesus. You got to do what he says. And if you don't, you don't believe in him. You know, you can't say, well, you know, it's like saying, you know, I believe in the Democratic Party, but you always voting the Republican Party. Or you say that you believe in the Republican Party, but you're always voting in the Democratic Party. You don't really believe in those parties. I don't believe in either one of them. But I'm just giving you that as an example. If you say you believe in Christ, then you would be doing what he said. And he said, repent and seek the kingdom of God. And we were saying in the last show and showing you in the last show that what the world was doing at the time of Christ and what the world is doing today. The world is the system or organization of government. That's most of the time in the Bible, when you're reading in the New Testament and they're talking about world, they're talking about a constitutional system, order of government. Occasionally they're also talking about an age, and occasionally they're talking about inhabited places. And there's a couple other places where you see a word translated in the world, but when they're talking about my kingdom is not of this world, and you are to be in the world and not of this world, they're talking about a constitutional order and system of government. Because Jesus said we were not to be like the princes of the Gentiles. That's the other governments. That's the other world, the other systems. And even in Black's Law Dictionary, the church is defined as one form of government, and the church is a government. And there has to be a separation of church and the governments of the world, because we're not of the world. And that means that the ministers of your church need to be not of the world. They can't be getting benefits from the world. They have to give that up to be disciples of Christ. They have to be. People say, oh, well, you don't want to incorporate your church because your church gets incorporated and it becomes an entity of the state. Absolutely true. We have a whole article on that, whole chapter in the Covenants of the Gods, Body of Christ versus the Body of the State. And we don't tell you based on what we think. We show you what they say. They say that if you incorporate your church, all other previous incorporation is null and void as if it never happened. If you incorporate your church under the statutes of the state, you become an entity of the state. Now, that's what they say. I'm not making it up. So you're no longer part of the corpus of Christ. You're no longer established by Christ. You're now established by the state. You're a corporation of the state. You're a body of the state. Everything that you have belongs to the state. And the state can actually, in a corporation, the state can come in and remove the president of your corporation and put somebody else there. Because you're an entity of the state. Well, the church should not be an entity of the state. The church should be an entity of Christ, a corpus of Christ. And so you can't incorporate a church and still be a church established by Christ. You're reestablishing the church as an entity of the state. And you just can't do that. But if you're ministers of the church who are in positions of responsibility, I say responsibility rather than authority, they have authority over their responsibility. They don't have authority over you. They have authority over their responsibility. To who? To Christ. So they're, because they're not incorporated to the state, they're incorporated to Christ. Okay, where do they pray for their daily bread? If they have to pray to the benefactors who exercise authority, apply for Social Security benefits and all the stuff from the state, you might as well just incorporate the church, because you're done. If the officers of your church are entities of the federal government, then your church belongs to the federal government. That's it, because they're of the world. That simple. They can't be of the world. They have to be separate. Now, I understand that most ministers are incorporated themselves, their personal officio capacity as a person is incorporated to the state. And that's where, you know, they're going to depend on Social Security when they retire and all that stuff. Because why? Because the elders of their church, the members of their church, aren't doing what Christ said. Not even close. You see, those elders should be supporting their ministers. They should be providing them with a retirement. I know a guy who's really very close to the kingdom in many ways. He's from England and he's a pastor out here. And he has to collect Social Security. He has to buy his own house and retire in it because nobody constructed the churches that he was working in according to the way Christ said to construct them. And it's right in the Bible. It's right there in the text. But you missed it. Joel Osteen missed it. Billy Graham missed it. His son missed it. They all missed it. That he's showing you how to operate the church. And if you went back in history and actually saw what they were doing, which you can do, and we write about it in those books that we charge hundreds of dollars for. No, we don't charge anything for them. They're free online. You can download them for free, all of them. If you get on thelivingnetwork.org and you ask the contact ministers that are there on each of those groups are based on geographical location, they'll tell you how to get a copy of those books. And besides that, if you're a little clever, you can find them on the website. Anyway, we don't just leave them laying around, because we believe in the concept of seek and ye shall find. So you need to be looking for them. But we're not going to charge you for it. You notice how Jesus was always walking out in the country and crowds were following him, and he's going way out on top of hills and stuff like that. Why? Because he was setting a pattern of seeking and ye shall find. That's right. So you're going to have to seek and find Jesus Christ, and you got to seek and find those books. You can find them easy enough. And we actually will sell you hard copies, because we just don't have the money to be handing out the hard copies. But anybody who sees what we operate on and how we operate realize that you're not going to find us living in a $10 million home, or worth $40 million, and flying off the veil and getting kicked off the plane. And for that, we might get kicked off the plane, but it's because we're not one of those corporate guys that you want to see, not because we're misbehaving. But, anyway, The reality is that Christ was very specific on how to organize your church. And your ministers have to be separate from the world, not just the body of your church organization, but, you know, not just not incorporate your church, but your ministers have to be unincorporated from the state. Now, we have ministers that are members of the state, but they don't get paid by us, and they act ex officio. And these are what we call licensed ministers. And they're not licensed by me. I don't have the power to license them. The people who pick them license them. So in other words, if you're a family man, you have a wife and six kids, and you want to minister, how does he have a right to minister to you? He doesn't unless you give him permission, right? He can't be your minister unless you say so. So you give him license to be your minister. But you're just one guy. I mean, yeah, your wife's there too, and she's in on this, but you and your wife are one, and your children are your children. But if you get two adults from two different families that recognize the same guy as their personal minister, and you write it down that you are giving him license to be your minister, and you're putting your money where your mouth is, in other words, you give him some sort of a donation, you know, a bag of chocolate or, you know, a nickel or whatever, something, you know, a shekel, and or half shekel even, which I think is like a dime or maybe even a half dime. You give that to him, and you make a record of it, that you're giving it to him for the purposes of giving it to Christ. And you put it on record that you've done this, you and one other family. And you notify us, and we check out and make sure that this is correct. We will agree that he is a minister of Christ ex officio, even though he's still within the system. And he's still personally incorporated to the system. He's got another full-time job that, you know, because it's not going to take a full-time job to be a minister of two people. Well, maybe. Depends on the two people. How much of the job he's doing. Because this is the process of seeking the kingdom. Is that he's now your minister. And you're going to steadily start looking towards him rather than the priests and ministers of the state who you've been looking to for health, education, and welfare and all that stuff. So you're going to end up starting to move towards homeschooling if you're not already. Start looking at home health solutions. You'd be surprised at what you could do home health. And, you know, with the decaying of the medical society and already the corruption of pharmaceutica, I really encourage you to start looking into home health and these other remedies. I mean, it saved my life. And the fact is, when you start going this way, a miraculous healing start taking place. And I'm just going to tell you that. But I'm not going to tell you the details. I'm going to tell you how it works, because you're supposed to find out from Christ, from the Spirit of Christ, how it works. And actually, we do talk about it. It's in campfire talks and in some of the events that happen amongst the congregation. But we don't want you to believe by signs and wonders. We want you to believe because it's written on your heart to believe. That if you're not living by faith, hope, and charity, and actually working to love your neighbor as yourself, you will be under tribute. You will go into bondage. And you will have rulers that take and take and take and take and take and take your sons and daughters and run them before their chariots and curse them with debt. You're going to have that. Wait a minute. You already do have that. So, you know, I'm not a prophet. I'm just telling you like it is. I mean, you can see it. Happening right now, and this is how late it is. Your pastor should have been telling you this hundreds of years ago, at least 100 years ago. And some were, very few, but most of them were interested in lining their pockets or being put up on pedestals or, you know, tickling your ears and having their own ears tickled by you. It was a mutual admiration society. We believe. We know God. We know Jesus. Bunk. If you knew Jesus, you wouldn't be in the mess you're in today. But that's good. Because now you get to repent. I keep going back to that. I tell you how bad it is, but I don't want you to feel bad that it is bad. I want you to feel that you are empowered to repent, to turn around, go the other way, which means everybody should be trying to figure out, running down the library, running down to their computers and going to hisholychurch.org or thelivingnetwork.org and signing up for their local groups, which are, you know, like Texas and several states around Texas, and get on those groups and start getting active on those groups where you start gathering together and forming congregations of record and start contributing to those congregations of record in a way so that those ministers can take the time away from their own families and their own life and their own livelihood to go out and preach the real gospel of the kingdom of God, which will lead you to a state where you can be ruled by God and receive the blessings of God and actually receive the protection of God with pillars of fire, which you will need before you're done. It's a process. That's why he uses process words like seek and endure and strive and persevere. Those are process words. It's an ongoing journey in a particular direction. So if you're not moving yourself and helping your neighbor move and the stranger in your midst move in the direction of a society that takes care of the needs of that society through faith, hope, and charity, if you're not moving in that direction, you have not yet turned around and repented. If you're still moving like, I'm going to get somebody elected to office who's going to give me back my rights. No. You want your rights back, you got to take back your responsibilities. You don't get them by electing somebody else who exercises authority. It's just not going to happen. I mean, you can go out and vote if you want and all that stuff. Free country. But that isn't the solution. Not the solution that Christ talked about. I mean, you certainly are free to try that. But the solution Christ talked about was repenting and seeking the kingdom of God and His, what? Righteousness. It ain't righteous for you to take away from your neighbor so that you can have benefits. That ain't righteousness, folks. That's my southern accent. That ain't righteousness. That word lends itself to a southern accent. And I can use a southern accent because I was raised in Texas. You know, that's how I say Texas. I wasn't raised in Texas. I was raised in Texas. And they used to call me Tex in the seminary because when I read the epistle of St. Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians, everybody broke out laughing, and I couldn't figure out why. So, you know, I have a son-in-law. He's from England, and he thinks southern accents hurt his ears. Me, it's like going home. So you're supposed to be seeking righteousness, real righteousness, real righteousness, which means you have to start loving your neighbor as yourself. You have to start being like Christ. You have to start coming together to serve others. That means you're going to have to make sacrifices. You're going to have to lay down your life even. You don't have to start out with your life. You start out with $100. Given to a minister so he can go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom and tell other people. Gather together for the purposes of Christ, or you're not going to be saved because you don't believe in what he said. Two or more gathered in my name. You got to be working at that. Now, if those two are gathered in his name, they're going to want to gather with another two because that's part of, you know, groups of two gather in his name. So then that's four. Okay, then four are going to, if they're really gathering his name, they're going to want to gather together with two other groups of four, and now you got 12. Oh my gosh, that's getting too many people. So they're going to divide up into another congregation, and you're going to have tens, hundreds, and thousands of people gathering in a network that is bound together by love. You think that's not going to make a difference? You think that's not going to make a ripple in the force? You think that's not going to change the course of history? It will for you. Now, all those other people who want to keep praying to men who call themselves benefactors and exercise authority to get benefits that curse their children, they can keep going doing that. And many of them will. You just got to decide what side of the equation you want to be on. And you want to be on Christ's side of the equation or Nimrod's side of the equation? You can't just jump over there. You got to start moving in the direction, because you're so far down the pit, so far down the hole, so far down into the belly of Satan. You're just not going to change. I mean, you're the prodigal son. How many days did he walk before he saw his father's house? And his father saw him coming and ran out and met him. How many days? And along the way, did he ever start thinking, you know, man, it's really long, you know? Because he was in a far country, right? And he's thinking, like, I don't know if I can make it. No, don't worry. Holy angels are with you. You gotta try. God isn't going to run out and meet you unless you turn around and try. And you can't tell me you're trying if you've only got on an email group. Or you didn't even get on the email group. You just listen on the radio. That ain't trying. That's just listening on the radio. That's like, you know, like the prodigal son being back there working in the pig mire. But he's okay because he got a radio. He can hear the hometown station on the radio. He's carrying around with his little earphones. He's got his earphones on and he can play old tunes from back home. So it's almost like being back home, but it isn't like being back home. You're still in the pig mire. You want to get back home, you got to turn around and go the other way. That means you have to be moving in the direction of a system of society based on faith, hope, and charity instead of force. Forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare through men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. You are not to be that way. You are to be the way that Christ said. And that's the way the church is. And if the church is going to be a free church belonging to Christ, it has to follow the precepts of Christ and the directives of Christ. And the ministers have to put on that character of Christ and do what he said to do. And this is what we talk about in the Free Church Report. And it's foreign to most churches. Absolutely foreign to most churches. So, yeah, I'm looking at all the different emails. I'm just thinking, local people writing me, other churches writing me, other people writing me. And one of the questions that came up, and actually there were several of them that came up from the one individual, so I was looking to see if I could find it. But wanted to know what our opinion was on heaven and hell, and believe that eternal life means eternal life. Well, you know, what did Jesus say to do to obtain eternal life? That's always a big question, because I actually heard ministers tell me exactly the opposite of what Jesus said, and said, well, what Jesus said that, and I point out what he actually said. They said, oh, well, that was before the crucifixion, so Jesus was lying? Jesus didn't know what he was saying, when he was incorrect. I mean, these things that Jesus said, that is the gospel of Jesus. Those are the doctrines of Jesus. And he said, if you want to obtain eternal life, keep the commandments. Now, he knows that if you don't have his spirit in you, you will not be able to keep the commandments. And if you are actually walking with Christ and have his spirit dwelling within you and have made that full commitment to Christ, you can't help but keep the commandments. Because you have faith in Christ, faith in who he was, and you can't help but keep the commandments. That's right. I'm not saying on this road you're not going to stumble. to this perfection, because that's what he says, we're supposed to seek this perfection. But by policy in your life, you're not to be coveting your neighbor's goods. You're not to be praying to those men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. You are to be not coveting at all, because that's against the commandment. And therefore, you will not be cursing your children through covetousness, as Peter said you would do, and as you have already done. You wouldn't be doing that. That simple. You know, if you get a concordance, you want to know where that is? Do you really want to know where that says that in the Bible, where it talks about cursing your children? And isn't that in Peter? Doesn't he talk about that? I mean, he talks about you being merchandise, and everybody should know where that is. But he also talks about cursing your children. And why? Because you covet. And you're not supposed to be coveting. So, you know, think about where did he say all that? Where did he talk about all that? Can you find that in the Bible? You think about it. And where was this stuff about merchandise and being merchandise? You know how many times he talks about you being merchandise? Do you know where all that is in your Bible? I know most of your ministers, they don't even know what Jesus called the weightier matters. Do you know where he talks about the weightier matters and why he condemns men who don't deal with attend to the weightier matters? Well, we'll talk about that too when we get back to Keys to the Kingdom.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. Yeah, if you go to Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 1, right away, he's talking, actually chapter 2, go to chapter 2, but there were false prophets also amongst the people, even as there shall be false teachers amongst you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. You have done that. I mean, you said, Lord, Lord, with your words. You even sing in your churches that he's your king, but then you're out there electing presidents. Can you have a president and a king? Can you be praying to presidents and governors and the priests of those temples for benefits, even though you know those benefits are provided to you by taking away from your neighbor, provided by taking away from your neighbor by force? Not free will offerings like you see in the Old Testament. Not free will offerings like you see in the New Testament. But forced offerings like you see in Babylon. In the cities of Cain, in the cities of bondage of Egypt, forced offerings. That is not the way of Christ. Christ's way was free will offerings. Lady Godiva knew it. You just don't seem to know it. Denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. What do you think that word destruction comes from? Do you have any idea at all? We could take a look at that. Let's see here. That's the word apolia. Perdition, destruction, waste, destroying, utter destruction. It even says destruction of money. And of course, what's your money worth today? It's being destroyed daily. Why? Because you're praying to benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Many. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. What's the way of truth? Faith, hope, and charity. Live by faith, hope, and charity. And he goes on in verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, make human resources of you, bring you into bondage. You are in bondage. You say Christ has set you free, but you are seeking the benefits of benefactors who exercise authority one over the other that Christ said not to do. So why would Christ make you free? You should be under bondage. You should be under tribute. You should be. You've been slothful. Your churches don't take care of the social welfare of your society because your churches aren't religious anymore. Religion, remember, is a performance of your duty to God and your fellow man. That's how you're supposed to take care of the needy of your society, through charity. You don't do that. You do it through the arm of Nimrod, Babylon, Babylon the Great. That is how you've been seeking the kingdom of whatever. It's not the kingdom of capital G-O-D, it's the kingdom of small G-O-D, the kingdoms of the world. You take care of your needy through forced contributions, not through free will offerings. And so therefore you have been slothful in the ways of God, slothful in the ways of Abraham, slothful in the ways of Moses, slothful in the ways of Jesus Christ and John the Baptist, and therefore you should be under tribute, And they should take and take and take and take and take from you. And when you cry out, God will not hear you unless you repent. Now, you have to repent and get all the way back before he will save you? No. But you have to be going in the right direction, which means repent and turn towards God and go after his ways. Start creating those congregations. Start supporting those congregations of faith, hope, and charity, so that when the system of unrighteous mammon, mammon being entrusted wealth, you've entrusted your wealth. You've paid in to these systems for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And they are in a negative state. They are operating in the red. They are all in the hole. We talked about that in the last show. They all are bankrupt. They are the unrighteous mammon. And they are failing. And you have nothing to take their place. And don't tell me you're trusting in God. Not unless you're entrusting in the way of God, which is to gather together in faith, hope, and charity and form a nation, a peculiar people that are bound together not by corporate contract, not under penalty of perjury, but by love for one another. So we show you the legal way in which to form a church based on two or more witnesses that are picking a minister who is meeting the criteria of Christ, and how to network them together so you're not just isolated congregations, but an actual peculiar people bound by this faith, hope, and charity, not just in one country, but in all countries, beyond the world, living in the world, but not of it. And that doesn't happen overnight. That doesn't happen in an instant. That doesn't happen just because you say some words or fill out even a few pieces of paper. It happens by what Christ did, you doing. What did Christ do? He sacrificed. Though he was rich, he made himself poor. He walked out. He put his life at risk. Now, you don't have to start with the big things. But we have ministers who are stepping out, putting themselves at risk, who's speaking not against the system of men, but for the system of Christ, which is contrary to the system of men. And you cannot be covetous. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment, condemnation, now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Their damnation slumbereth not. They are bound. You are bound. Because you have gone into covetous systems. And we're not just talking health care. We're talking public schools. We're talking welfare. We're talking all these things are based on not free will offerings, but forced contributions. It is coveting your neighbor's goods. Every time you want a benefit that comes from a compelled offering. That is not the ways of God. It was free will offerings. Free will offerings. Free will offerings. Even the Quran tells you that. The Bible certainly tells you over and over and over and over again. Christ told you that. John the Baptist told you that. Paul told you that. Unless you have charity, you got nothing. Oh, but I said the words. But you ain't got charity. You are not supporting another form of government that operates by faith, hope, and charity. And it doesn't mean you send it to me. It means you gather together in local congregations. Those who I serve will take care of my needs. Those who gather together, you take care of the needs of your immediate minister. But you make sure he isn't going to go out there and become worth $40 million and live in mansions while you don't. Christ went out and he could have lived in the temple. He was giving commands in the royal treasury surrounded by big bucks, and he went out and slept in the Garden of Gethsemane. Which of your ministers will do that? No, you guys, you are making the ones who have brought in the damnable heresies rich, and therefore you shall be poor because they are leading you into condemnation. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and 8 persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after which should live ungodly. You tell me, what's going on here? What's he talking about? And delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversations of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed him, his righteous soul, from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Do you see any unlawful deeds around you? Are you seeking another way? The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of the temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But you have to be seeking the ways of Christ, or you will be counted amongst the ungodly, the workers of iniquity. And he will say, get ye from me, ye workers of iniquity. I know you not. The fact is, when you start this walk, you will start to learn more and more about God and his ways. You don't start off knowing all the answers. You start off going and you learn along the way. Christ's kingdom is a learn by doing kingdom. Verse 10, he says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. You know that word government there is never translated government anywhere else in the Bible. It's translated dominion. You were given dominion, but you've gone and given dominion to men who exercise authority one over the other, and you have a common purse of rights now, and they can take or take and take and take and decide what you get back. Because you despised dominion yourself, you didn't take on the responsibilities of dominion. You were supposed to be taking care of the needs of your neighbor through faith, hope, and charity, and through congregations that are free assemblies that operate by that charity, freely giving and freely receiving. The world does not freely give and freely receive. They will take. If you are eligible for the entitlement, they are entitled to your pocket. And they should be entitled to your pocket, and you should pay them everything they ask. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. And you're Caesar's, so he can tell you how much you have to give. And it should be that way for those who have been slothful in the ways of God's government and despise the dominion and the responsibility of that dominion that God put upon your shoulders when he said, dress and keep it, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. You haven't been loving your neighbor as yourself. You haven't been gathering together to create the buddy system times 10 to take care of the emergency needs and the social welfare needs of your neighbor. That is the purpose of church, not to make you feel good once a week so that you can imagine that you're saved. That is not the job of the church. Instead, you curse one another with debt. You even curse your children with debt. In Jeremiah 11:3 we see, and say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant. The covenant was that you were to keep those commandments. You're not keeping them. So what happens in 2 Peter 2:14? We didn't get that far. But that's where you want to look. 2 Peter. Through covetousness he would make merchandise of you. And in verse 11, whereas the angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. That's you he's talking about. You're a part of the beast if you ask those benefactors to take from your neighbor to provide you with social welfare. Homeschool your children. Don't make your neighbors pay for your child's education. Teach them in the homes, as it says in the Old Testament. God hasn't changed. Where did Jesus say, yeah, let's start a public school system and make everybody pay into it so that you can have free education for your kids? And if anybody refuses to pay into it, let's take their home away from them and throw them out in the streets and sell their home to somebody who will pay into the schools that we want. Sure, when I put it like that, it doesn't sound good. It is a collective. It is a common purse you have entered, and it runs towards evil. Proverbs. Verse 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. You're living an unrighteous system based on force, not charity, not love. As they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, that's what you're doing. You're rioting against God. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. You're deceived. Somehow or other, you think it's okay to take from your neighbors so that you can have the benefits you want, your health clinics and what have you. You shouldn't be doing that. That is not Christ-like. Republicans do it. Democrats do it. Even some libertarians do it. But it's not Christ-like. It's not coming in the name of Christ. It's coming in the name of Cain. It's coming in the name of Nimrod. That's what they did. The evil Pharaoh. Yeah, man, I'm a bummer. So anyway, we get down to having eyes full of adultery. You've been fornicating with the beast. Yeah, with the beast. And that cannot cease from sin. Beguiling unstable souls. Yeah, that you've been beguiled. Been said, oh, nothing you have to do, just come to church, we'll make you feel good, we'll sing some songs, we'll say some praise, we'll talk about how wonderful you are, how much Jesus loves you, and then you can go back to coveting your neighbor's goods and exercising authority one over the other to get the benefits that you want, because we're not going to give you any benefits, but our preacher here is worth $40 million. That's what you've been doing. Sounds pretty goofy when I say it, but that's what it is. Though they were poor, they made themselves rich, tickling the ears of foolish, foolish people. Unstable souls, beguiled in their pews to believe that they believe in Jesus while they pray to men who exercise authority one over the other to get benefits by sucking the life out of their neighbor by force. Vampires and werewolves are your preachers. And heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed their children. There you have it. Verse 14, 2 Peter chapter 2. Curse their children. That's what you've done. Curse them with debt. You haven't kept the Sabbath. I don't care. You say, oh, we're keepers of the Sabbath. No, no, not if you're in debt. And if you're a citizen of the United States with one of those benefit numbers, you're in debt because the system is in debt. Where you were once entitled, now they're entitled to you to pay that debt. And they're entitled to your children to pay that debt. You know, we wrote Covenants of the Gods and we show you how this works. Everybody says, oh, so I want out of the system. How do I get out of the system? I don't know how to get you out of the system. I can't get you out of the system. What kind of power do you think I have? I can tell you how to get into the system of the kingdom. I can tell you how you got into bondage. Nobody can get you out of bondage but God. Now, he could do it in an instant. But you're not going to do it by signing papers and filling out things and sending them in. Till then, you better give to Caesar what is Caesar's. When it fails, be ready to receive the blessings of God. If you have turned around and been seeking the blessings of God, if you've still been paying your tally of bricks and being honorable with the unrighteous mammon, but seeking the ways of the kingdom at night, gleaning your straw, your benefits from the field, not from the world, by faith, hope, and charity gleaning. Gleaning is a charitable thing. Which have forsaken the right way, that's what you've done, and are gone astray, that's what you've done, following the ways of Balaam, which is the ways of the Nicolaitans, and the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, the wages there, the benefits of unrighteousness, the free education, the health care, the WIC, the EBT cards, you know, food stamps, all that. You love the wages, the benefits of unrighteousness, because all those things are provided to you by men who exercise authority one over the other, contrary to the way Christ said. Goes on in verse 16, but was rebuked for their iniquity. I'm doing that. And the dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. You can put that together yourself. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, or the freest country in the nation, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped back there in 1776 from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruptions, of whom a man is overcome. Of the same is he brought in bondage. That's where you're at. You're all in bondage again. All in bondage again. I hear, you know, somebody I know on Facebook who's not far from the kingdom in many ways. Stubborn as a post, but, you know, stubbornness is the way they come sometimes. But a very giving person in many ways. Putting their foot in their mouth all the time. Of course, my job is to do that. I'm not putting my foot in my mouth, but I'm sure stepping on toes. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, unfortunately their pastor is not really giving them the full knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not a bad guy himself, but he's not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He's afraid they won't accept him. I mean, even when he asked me, he says, so what should I say? And he whispers it. Why are you whispering it? Say it out loud. What should I say to the people? What should I be teaching? Teach them the truth. God does not want you coveting your neighbor's goods through men who exercise authority one over the other. Jesus said it. Repeat it. That's simple. They are again entangled therein and overcome, and the latter end is worse than it was in the beginning. There you are. That's where you're at. And we're not even at the end. It's going to get worse. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment, including thou shalt not covet, and delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. That is where we're at. Repent. Turn around. Come join us on the Living Network. Start seeking the kingdom, and God will bless you. Till then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.